Hi, welcome to See What Show. I'm Mr. Brown, and this is the movie, TV, and DVD review podcast for regular people.
Hello, and I'm Ling. Today we have some exciting movies. Some exciting movies.
Sound effects.
That's right. To take you through the kongsi-kongsi period.
Kongsi-kongsi. What are we watching today? Juno.
That's right. And also No Country for Old Men.
Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Yes, that's right.
So good stuff to review and tell you whether to watch over the Chinese New Year period. I think Juno is coming later though.
So you can hold your horses.
Yeah, but worth holding your horses for.
Mm-hmm. You'll tell us later, won't you?
Yeah, what's showing this week? Let's see.
What's showing this week?
Yay! We're doing very Asian movies today.
That's right, because it's in line with the Kongsi Kongsi theme.
Kongsi Kongsi.
Dr. Chang.
Techno version.
L
is coming.
Very scary, cheesy, hammy picture. If you're looking forward to watching
Death Note.
This.
This is the Death Note third movie to the Death Code. Death Note series. Death Note 1 and 2. This is L. This is the one.
Any good, you think?
It's good. Huh? At least 1 and 2 is enjoyable for me. Mm. It's about a guy who picks up a notebook called the Death Note. Mm-hmm. And then you write in it somebody's name and the guy would die.
Alamak.
Yes. It belongs to the demon of death. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all very demon.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's based on a Japanese anime series and manga.
I see.
Very popular. If you have to be with it.
I don't think I will be watching it.
Oh, you know, the horror.
I'm not.
L is the third one. L is the character who was the nemesis to the guy who picked up the Death Note book.
I see.
Kira. Yeah. So Kira was the guy who picked up the book.
Very hammy cheesy. Actually looks like Chucky.
It's cool, man. It's a very cool series. It's mysterious and everything.
Okay. So people who follow, please go and
Death
catch
Note. Yeah,
this.
Catch L.
Mm-hmm. And then we have also the first of our Dong 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 Chang's, Kung Fu Dunk. Also known as Kung Fu Junk by some form.
Ayo. This is the Jay Chou basketball kung fu movie, right?
I know, with his signature broody can't do anything else face.
Reports have not been good.
No, huh?
Nope.
Well, I was actually hoping that it would be a little bit like Shaolin Soccer, a bit of kung fu, a bit of soccer.
I don't think so.
By the name, a bit of kung fu, a bit of basketball.
But then you see, Shaolin Soccer got Stephen Chow.
Ah.
Then this one got broody face.
Yes.
Jay Chou. I like his music, but you know, he's acting a bit like that one dimensional look.
That's true. It kind of worked in The Curse of the Golden Chrysanthemums.
but after you've seen it in Initial D, and then you've seen it in, you know, a couple other movies, like,
where have I seen this look before?
The emotional range from A to B.
In fact, I was just even wondering, does he have like broody look 1 and broody look 2, broody look 3? It all seems to fall into the broody look.
Yeah, broody look
1 category.
J.H.O. fans will come and like burn my studio down now.
Don't laugh.
Speaking of Stephen Chow.
Yes.
Chinese New Year movie is, of course, CJ7.
Qiang Jiang Qi Hao. Mm-hmm.
It's about a little alien.
And?
Then went to watch a friend of mine, the gala, and he was saying to me, I don't know why they made this. I don't know why Stephen Chow made this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, doesn't sound good. And apparently, he wasn't supposed to be this prominent in the movie.
Mm.
I read some internet chatter that the movie was not meant to be a major vehicle for him. He's just meant to direct and produce or something. And then Columbia Pictures said, no, I've given you a lot of money and you have to be a starring role. So they inserted more scenes of him, and then they said, no, not enough. And then they inserted more scenes of him. And in the end, the movie was kind of like with a lot of scenes of him, but very disjointed.
So very, what, gratuitous type of appearances?
Yeah, and then the Hong Kong a reviewer said that the movie, in Chinese, she said, I came in expecting a comedy, but I didn't laugh. But it turned out to be a tragic drama, but I didn't cry.
I see.
So not very promising. Don't.
But
anyway,
then in the spirit of Chinese New Year, maybe should do some kind of Asian movie marathon.
Of course, yeah. But you know how it is with Chinese New Year movies, like, you know, you got nothing to do after visiting relatives.
Mm.
You will have to find some movie to watch. Right?
That's true. Especially what you got to do with so much ang pao money.
Yeah, spend it on popcorn.
Especially those who don't have to give ang pao.
Yes, unlike some people like me
and
you.
That's right.
Okay, doc, let's jump into review time.
See What Show, review time.
First movie we are reviewing today, Juno.
Sorry, how long have I been what? Ugh, I hate it when adults use the term sexually active. What does it even mean? Can I, like, deactivate someday, or is this some sort of permanent state of being? I guess Bleeker went live that night we did it. I guess that's why he got that look on his face.
Should have seen this octopus furnace at work. I had to get on my hazmat suit just to get into the thing.
My dad used to be in the army, but now he's just your average HVAC specialist. He and my mom got divorced when I was like 5, and she lives on a Havasu reservation in Arizona with her new husband and 3 replacement kids.
Juno is a very unusual name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. And it's a great movie. The movie, the Juno in the movie title is the 16-year-old girl called Juno McGuff, right? She's named after the main wife of Zeus.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because her dad was in a Greek mythology kind of phase when she was born. It's very funny.
Okay.
Ellen Page acts as Juno McGuff, a quirky kind of wise-cracking teenager who finds herself pregnant at 16. After she gets to know, in the biblical sense, her best friend, Polly Bleeker, who from the name you can tell is a nerd.
Huh? Yeah. His name is Polly?
Polly Bleeker.
Pauline.
Polly. P-A-U-L-I-E.
Oh.
Polly.
Okay.
Bleeker.
Right.
Yeah, he's a nerd, smart guy, and an athletics geek. So he just runs and runs and runs a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, and his neck jewels like bounce around a lot. They shot.
And you can see this. You enjoyed the movie. Why?
Long story. So anyway, Juno decides to put up her child for adoption, and her cheerleader best friend tells her to look for parents, interested parents. Or parents to be in the classifieds of those free penny saver magazines, you know, they go on the clip out time.
Yes, yes.
Very dodgy magazines. And they find Jennifer Garner and Jason Bateman, a well off couple who may not be ready for a baby, actually, mm-hmm. Or even actually a marriage. So Juno follows, you know, this whole vein of indie comedy. Like, you know, last year there was a little Miss Sunshine, but it's way better because you really like the characters and you feel you know them. The problem with these quirky character type of movies is that they tend to become caricatures, right? But here, they're actually very believable. So they're very real, which is nice. The movie kind of stays away from stereotypes. So it's deliberate, it's very clever. Juno is not a rebel teen, but yet she's not exactly like your regular guai guai girl.
Mm-hmm.
Her cheerleader best friend is not some evil school bitch.
Who has nose jobs.
Yeah, she's actually very nice.
Okay.
Her stepmother is actually a very spunky mother who loves her and all her and her sibling, I mean, and accepts her for who she is and the mistakes that she makes. I mean, getting pregnant is not a small thing.
Right.
Her divorced aircon repairman father is not a yob. He's a nice guy, you know, and he's got this dry humor, which is very funny. And the father of the baby is not a hopeless nerd.
He's an athletic running nerd.
Yeah, and neither is he a cad.
Okay.
Okay, he's just a clueless but sweet, intelligent, athletic boy who's caught in a situation not entirely of his doing. It was not him who initiated this.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. So what works for me is like this great cast. You can tell I like the cast. The dialogue is fantastic. The wit is very fast. It's very clever. And it's kind of dry, down-to-earth banter. There's sort of like a blue-collar version of the Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
Yeah, Gilmore Girls tends to be a little bit, you know, twee. I don't like the whole... It's fun to listen to, but you have to be of a certain, you know...
You have to be the class. You have to be in.
Yeah. This is not in. This is just funny lines, and okay. they're very down to it. Every character in the movie is interesting, really. Nobody plays it over the top, and nobody underacts. So it's very nice. That's a nice balance. My favorite character is, of course, Juno, okay. The pregnant teen who's the protagonist. She carried her role on her teen shoulders with such style and grit.
Wow.
Amazing. Girl. And the movie is never sentimental and always intelligent, very wise and funny. And it's a lovely movie.
I know what junk is.
Yeah, right.
We definitely wanted to have some junk, please.
Now, you don't need to worry about a thing. My stepmom Bran makes me eat super healthy. You know, I can't stand in front of the microwave and no red M&Ms. I hope you're ready.
Ooh. You hear that?
What?
This is my favorite song. This is Sonic Youth doing Superstar by the Carpenters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know the Carpenters. Chick drummer, freaky dude, not unlike the White Stripes.
You haven't heard the Carpenters like this. Just listen.
Your guitar, it sounds so sweet.
Yeah, I like this.
What did you say your favorite band was?
Didn't. It's a 3-way tie between Stooges, Patti Smith, and the Runaways.
Yeah, go watch.
Can see that you really liked it.
I liked it. I would say from a non-special effects point of view, movies that don't have all the big bang stuff, it is my favorite like movie of the year so far.
So well acted, funny lines. I mean, in a way, traditional elements, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you like Kung Fu Dunk.
Okay.
Maybe Jay Chou will like have a breakthrough.
The drama of, you know, basketball.
Maybe he will smile when he scores his last 3-pointer.
Jay Chou gets pregnant. And how he struggles with being a pregnant single father. Playing basketball.
Okay.
Something darker you watched.
Something darker I watched. And, well, also good lines, except that a lot of the time I must admit that I couldn't really make out the dialogue for No Country for Old Men.
Must listen very carefully, right?
Yeah, partly, but also because of the drawl, the southern drawl, this whole country kind of conversation going on.
Is something wrong?
With what?
With anything.
Is that what you're asking me? Is there something wrong with anything?
Will there be anything else?
You already asked me that.
Oh, well, I need to see about closing now.
See about closing?
Yes, sir.
What time do you close?
Now. We close now.
Now is not a time. What time do you close?
Generally around dark, at dark.
You don't know what you're talking about, do you?
Sir?
I said, you don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I warn you, don't watch this show when you're home alone, staring at the door in the dead of the night, okay? This is an action thriller that gave me a neck and a shoulder ache. I kid you not.
Yeah.
This is alert, alert, fans of Coen Brothers, because this is a movie by the brothers, the famed brothers.
Fargo.
Fargo, that's right. And adapted from Cormac McCarthy's novel of the same name. So if you've read the book No Country for Old Men, obviously there's lots of room for comparison and... Well, do that if you want to. But for me, I've never read the novel. So in that sense, I come to it, you know, really quite fresh. So the movie starts in Texas and we see a Vietnam War veteran, now a hunter. His name is Llewellyn. Like, what kind of name is Llewellyn, right?
But, it's Welsh.
Well, okay. There you go. There you go. Learn something new. Llewellyn, not from Wales. But from Texas.
Texas.
Chances upon the aftermath of a drug deal that's gone wrong, right? He's played by Josh Brolin, who is so familiar, but for the moment, for the life of me, I just cannot remember when I saw him.
I have the same feeling.
Yeah. Like, was he in Hunter or something? One of those TV dramas?
I gotta go and check. But he looked like Kurt Russell at certain angles.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So anyway, from a pile of dead Mexicans, Llewellyn picks up a satchel of cash. And with all drug deals, expect people to be after the money, right? And he tries to get away from whoever they are, but it's not that easy. And he even has to send his wife to live with her mother just to make sure that she's kept safe. And then he tries to lose the people who are hot on his heels, right? In comes the hottest actor on the block now, I swear, okay? He's a psychopathic killer called Anton Chigurh.
Yeah.
And he's played by Javier Bardem, or, I mean, since he's Spanish, maybe Javier Bardem.
Javier,
right? He's the most scary, creepy killer I've seen on screen lately.
I love his hair.
Yeah, his hair. He's got this, like a...
Mop.
Like a little bit longer than the Beatles, but you know where I'm headed with that. So anyway, he basically goes after Llewellyn and blows off the heads of people that that cross his path. And his weapon is one kind, okay? It looks like some oxygen tank that you go diving with. Only thing, it's missing the regulator or the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And if he puts it to your head, right, there's no bullet that can be found.
It's air pressure.
Yeah, it just completely sucks the life out of you. So
actually, it blows...
a big hole.
A hole, not sucks.
Blows and then sucks, right? You see, this is the thing. The conversation talks about blowing and sucking. That sounds quite bad.
Okay.
So anyway, there's no bullet.
Yeah, his gun very good.
His gun is not really a gun.
Okay.
But if you know what I mean. So then the good guy here is Tommy Lee Jones, who plays a retiring sheriff who, with his years of experience, tries to protect Llewellyn from the cold-blooded killer and, of course, tries to hunt down this killer. But, you know, he's like this ghost, you know, this Chigurh character.
Yeah.
He just evaporates. Tommy Lee Jones just cannot find him and things like that. He always seems to be a step behind. And in fact, Chigurh is referred to as a ghost, you know, by a character in the movie. So basically, nobody survives if they've seen his face, right? And of course, all that crime bustling takes a toll on the sheriff, Tommy Lee Jones, who doubts his ability to combat the rising crime in his old age.
Kemp?
Gonna try to keep from it much as it can.
He's going back out there. Wanted to know if you wanted to go with him.
That's cordial of him. Can I get you to call Loretta for me, tell her I'm going to Odessa to see Carla Jean Moss?
Yes, Sheriff.
I'll call her when I get there. I'd call her now, but she want me to come home, and it's just mine.
So you want me to wait till you quit the building?
Uh-huh. You don't want to lie without what it's absolutely necessary. What is it Torbert says about truth and justice?
Oh, we dedicate ourselves daily anew. Something like that.
I'm gonna commence dedicating myself twice daily. Might come to three times before it's over with.
I think the thing about this movie for me is it's very exciting. It's very, you sit on the edge of your chair. It's very laid back, very country in some sense. You feel as if nothing's going to happen, but at the same time, there's a lot of tension underneath. Okay. However, I found that the ending seemed to be a little bit disjointed. It didn't really seem to be part of the same film. But I must admit that I forgave the ending because the starting was really very good. You kind of follow Tommy Lee Jones and you kind of understand where he's going, where his character's going with the ending, because you refer to the title No Country for Old Men. And you sort of forgive the ending for being a little bit preachy. For me, that was the experience. But I can see your face. You're like, no.
Didn't work for
really,
me, man.
You really hated it.
I hated the ending a lot. It was a letdown for me. Mm-hmm. And I felt that the Oscar kind of hype and the critics all gushing over it kind of turned me off. I felt it didn't live up to that hype.
Mm. I think this is also a problem when you become as big as the Coen brothers. I mean, I think some of their earlier films, because
I like Fargo.
Yeah, but then it was earlier on, right? And there was less hype.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that story had more, you know, it's more complete, there was closure.
Mm.
Yeah.
And one thing to be neat. You see, I quite like the fact that it's open-ended, because if it's really about terrorism and, you know, terrorism in this day and age, actually it is. It's about living open-endedly.
Sure, but, you know, there are ways of... The movie didn't work for me because I enjoyed the first three quarters, then I was let down at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... I understand where it was coming from. It was trying to do the symbolism thing. You know, evil as personified in Anton Chigurh's character is this new nebulous scary thing that is difficult to kill but is also mortal and can be taken down, and sort of like an allusion to terrorism these days. And then you've got, you know, the sheriff who's tired and trying to solve crimes but feeling that he's in over his head. He's getting too old for this.
Right, his methods are no longer
relevant.
He's completely unable to cave in on the terrorists.
Yeah, and it's like, you can say it's like real life, but I want to watch a movie, not real life.
Oh,
I want closure. I mean, even if you want to leave it open ended, there are ways of doing it.
Mm.
Also, the way they dealt with what's the name of the guy again? The Welsh
Llewellyn.
Llewellyn was also unsatisfying.
Mm.
Yeah, so I thought the hype kind of did it in.
Well, it's very interesting if you this way, because I quite like the fact that they undercut a lot of things. You know, even with sugar and things like that, I like the fact that it's quite open-ended. Maybe because I kind of expect closure from a lot of movies, so...
Yeah, but still, I mean...
this is the Browning showdown.
Yeah. I hated it. everyone loved it, but I found a few dissenting voices, so I'm very happy.
Yeah. Actually, there's so much written about on the internet as well, it's not surprising.
Yeah. But, you know, worth watching, I suppose, to the extent that you want to see what the hype's about. And if you're really into this kind of, you know, Coen Brothers stuff.
Yeah.
Beautifully shot, though.
Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
Gem.
The guy.
Gem of an actor.
Yeah, he's a badass.
I would not want to meet him.
No, you won't.
No, not with that haircut.
The haircut alone will scare you.
Yes.
So that's No Country for Old Men.
Now let's go to something much more lively and lighthearted.
No, it's not lighthearted.
No?
It's
Sweeney Todd and it's Johnny Depp.
No. Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street is another like dark serial murder movie, okay? It's a musical, don't let it like fool you.
Hey, Chinese New Year lah.
No man, no gongxi here.
15 years dreaming, I might come home to a wife and child.
Benjamin Barker.
No Barker. Sweeney Todd now, and he will have his revenge. Where's my wife?
She's gone. And he's got your daughter.
Judge Turpin.
You got to leave this all behind you now.
No. These are desperate times. And desperate measures are called for.
All right! You, sir!
No one's in the chair. Come on!
Sweeney's waiting. I want you, bleeders.
You, sir!
Too, sir.
Welcome to the grave. I will have vengeance. I will have salvation.
Tim Burton directs this very dark musical, and it's based on the hit Broadway musical about Benjamin Barker, who's also known as Sweeney Todd. acted by Johnny Depp, who sets up his barbershop in London, Fleet Street, above the pie shop of Mrs. Lovett, and they kill many, many people together. Yes.
And make them into mince for their pies.
Pies, yeah. When my wife and I heard, like, Serial Murderer Story that is a musical, you're like, no way. Like, how is that going to work, right? Well, but the movie does work.
Chicago is a bit like that.
Yeah, but Chicago is also very, like, not really dark drama. You know, it's still quite a happy musical if you think about it.
Can be lah.
Well, the story is mild-mannered barber Benjamin Barker was arrested on false charges and sent away by Judge Turpin, who is Alan Rickman, who fancied his wife. So Judge Turpin likes his wife, Lucy, and he was separated from his wife and baby daughter, not knowing what happened to them. So he returns many years later with vengeance in his heart and a new identity, Sweeney Todd, and also a new hairstyle. Yeah, it's different. It's got a white streak and he looks like more Johnny Deppish.
Yeah, and in the other one, he looks like a nerd. Yeah. We can tell with his eyes and his nose.
No one can tell. Yeah, yes. It's like Superman. When you wear glasses, no one can tell.
Right.
And he comes and sets up his barbershop above Helena Bonham Carter's Mrs. Lovett's pie shop, the worst pie shop in London. And together, they scheme to get the judge to come in for a shave, his last. And along the way, they decide, in their own demented way, hey, let's kill the fat and wealthy and use their flesh for her pies. You know, because meat is expensive. Don't let it go to waste. Don't waste a good murder. Meanwhile, Anthony, this young sailor guy, came back with Sweeney on the ship. See, they made friends on the ship. He falls for this girl called Joanna. Mm-hmm. Okay, he sees in Judge Turpin's house, you know, in a room by herself. Cannot come out. She is his ward and kind of a prisoner of sorts. Mm-hmm. And yes, you guessed it, she's the child of Benjamin and Lucy Barker. But Judge Turpin is not going to let her date this guy so easily lah, because he plans to marry her. Yeah. So the judge is kind of lustful and twisted.
I see.
Not a very nice guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. First the mom, then raise the daughter, really don't want to marry the daughter. Yeah. So,
stuff of musicals, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's just like normal life. The movie doesn't hold back on the gore. That's the best part, right? You see some pretty gruesome murders, usually involving a shaving knife to the neck. Blood spurts with glee. You know, like they hit some three or four major arteries.
Set to a musical score?
Yeah, actually. And the set is very dark, surreal kind of London, you know, Victorian London.
You're barking mad. Killing a man what done you no harm.
You recognise me from the old days. Tried to blackmail me. Half me earnings.
Oh, well, that's a different matter then. For a moment there, I thought you lost your marbles. Oh, all that blood. Poor bugger. Oh, well.
The music is actually quite good, but not that cheerful. Mm. Johnny Depp, Helena Bonham Carter, and Alan Rickman, they managed to hold their own.
Okay.
Against the better singers in the cast. You can tell who are the unknowns who can sing one.
Yeah.
Then you know who are the stars who cannot. Especially when they sing side by side. There's one boy character in there who sings with Helena Bonham Carter, and he said, oh gosh, his voice. You know, such
hey, a life is like that, okay.
Soaring voice, yeah.
God is fair.
Yeah.
Either you're the star or you can sing.
Sing.
Cannot be a singing star.
So while Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney Todd go down the path of mad evil, you never lose your sympathy for them, which is interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult thing to pull off because, you know, you got to consider that they are gleeful murderers and, hey, cannibals.
Yep.
It's pretty twisted. And you feel their pain and angst somehow, you know, because both of them are dealing with loss of love, loss of their loved ones. And then you've got other characters in there which are really interesting. Sacha Baron Cohen, a.k.a. Borat. Was very funny as the Italian barber, Signor Adolfo Pirelli, who was challenged to a shaving competition by Sweeney at the beginning of the show. When Sweeney needed to establish his name as, you know, the better barber, Gun barber, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like musicals, you may not watch this because most of the dialogue is sung.
They sing it. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. But it's really refreshing to see a musical that is not sweet and happy and, you know, cheerful and really does the serial murderer genre kind of proud.
Mm.
Yeah. Johnny Depp was really, really good in this.
I'm glad because I did not like him in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Really? He was not very good in Pirates either. He was okay in the first Pirates, and second and third one, he just got tired.
Yeah.
That same character.
Yeah.
No, he was really good. And this is Tim Burton's probably finest movie so far.
Wow.
Mm.
So, you like
that? Yeah, like, it's quite enjoyable.
Very good.
I like the spurting blood. And I was eating instant noodles at the time.
Ew! with like...
slurp, blood splattering on the big screen. I'm like, no. What like that? And I'm still eating. Says something about me, I think.
I think so.
So that's our review for Juno, No Country for Old Men, and Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street. Pregnant Girl and Two Murderers.
Well, we hope you have a very happy Lunar New Year celebration.
Yeah, it's going to run for 15 days. Yeah. Enjoy all 15 days of Chinese New Year. Kongsi. Catch some Asian movies and let us know what you think.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. A production of C. What? Show.com.